Oh, thank you, ladies, for that. One of my favorite hymns, and glad to see you this evening, and glad that you can make it out on a Sunday evening. And if you remember last week, we had our missions night, our first one for the year, and had a great opportunity to hear a testimony from the Heberleys on just the work they're doing in the outback, and just a great update there of some of the happenings. And we handed out to the church just a little handout to show just the different places where we as a church have had the opportunity to send others to the work of the gospel, and just pray for our missionaries, pray for our church plants. And it's a great privilege, church, to be able to do that. And as we learnt this morning again, just the opportunity we have now for the Anderson family to head over to Geelong, and I hope that that already you've been praying. And I know when you came in, you got a prayer card that to put their portrait on your fridge there, and remember them in prayer constantly as they travel. But then as they get established over in Geelong, and was good time this afternoon as well, as we had our starting point class, and it's good to see Colin and Del here. They were part of that class this afternoon. And just, again, a good reminder, we really just spoke about who we are, where we came from as a church. What does it mean to be an independent Baptist church? What does it mean to be Good Shepherd Baptist Church, and the history of that? And I think when we put that all together, it's not just a good lesson for those coming into our church. It was a good reminder for some of us who were there, who are established. Because sometimes in the things that we know we're supposed to be, if we're not reminded about it, we can somewhat lose sight of who we should be for the Lord and the kind of culture and the kind of people we ought to be for Him. And, my desire this year as we think about missions and we think about the need for the gospel is that's not lost on us. That actually it becomes something that is a fire in our heart and a burden on our heart each day. And so tonight I want to continue and preach the message I was going to preach. I thank you for all those who complimented me on how well the preaching was last week, the three-minute message I shared. Thank you for your encouragement. But I'm going to catch up this week, all right? Acts chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading in verse 1, and this wonderful book, really, that written by Dr. Luke, and Luke, who really wrote historically of all of the Acts of the Apostles in the early church and all of what transpired there. And notice verse 1, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And really what Luke was seeking to do was compile all of these infallible proofs, compile through historical evidence, really all of the witnesses of what transpired in the early church. And as he traveled with Apostle Paul, this one who we know in other writings was a faithful companion of Paul, he saw the different ups and downs of the early church as they transpired before his eyes. And he saw others who were there, and he interviewed a whole bunch of them, and then by the Holy Spirit's inspiring, recorded the book of Acts for us. Now, verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And we know that through the latter stages, there was a promise of the Holy Spirit to come upon the disciples, come unto those who were the followers of Christ, and they were waiting for that time. This book of Acts is also a transitionary book. It talks much of when the early church was really being transitioned into what we know the church to be today. And so he's telling them, he's recounting of the fact that the promise of the Father was the Holy Ghost. And in verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, Wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And again, remember the mindset of the disciples, even right until the end, they didn't fully comprehend that this was a spiritual kingdom, that there was a this was beyond the borders of Jerusalem, of Israel. No, God had a global mindset. God had a mindset that they were to go forth into all the world, and he's going to reiterate that as we read along. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. And notice verse 8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And probably you would know Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Probably you'd understand that really it's in a group of verses that we could see alongside Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 20, Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, Luke chapter 24, verses 46 to 48, and John chapter 20, verse 21. You know, what we commonly call those verses is the Great Commission. And within that, you compile those five verses, you get an understanding and you get a sense of what God means and what God commands us to do. He commits us to this commission of going into all the world to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's for us today. That wasn't just something that was given to the apostles of the time. It was given to his church. It was given to us who was part of the church. And so tonight, if you there was a time where you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're part of the church. And guess what? This commission is given to you and I. This commission isn't just something that is a suggestion. No, it's a command given from our commander. It's a commission. And so he gives this again in answer to really what they were asking was, what's going to go on? What's happening right now is, when are you going to bring in the... And they were still thinking political when God was already transitioning them to think global, to think gospel, to think missions. And, you know, many times when we think about the Great Commission, I think sometimes we, at times, think about those who preach the gospel all over the world. And no doubt, as you think about missions, we display the world map. We have next to it all of the prayer cards of those that we support, many of whom that we've sent into different fields. We have the Shemishes here tonight. They're in the field of Thailand. They've been able to plant the Nakhon Sawan Baptist Church, and we're now able to send others out, Udom, into the different part, and that now another field that looking at, and others that they're training up for the ministry. And we sometimes picture missions that way as something that is done there, as something that is done in the uttermost. And no doubt, as we read the verses of Scripture this evening, you recognize that that's where it eventually gets to. The Bible says there in verse 8, and unto the uttermost part of the earth, unto the ends of the earth, so to speak. But we've got to understand that there's a key word here that I think would, in many ways, help us to understand that it's not just about those going. It's not just about those that we're sending forth. It's not just about what's there. It's also about what's here. Because the Bible says here that you shall be witnesses unto me. And notice the operative word that I want to focus on tonight is this word both. Both. And then he names four regions. He names Jerusalem, where they were at. He names Judea, which is really the county in which they were in. He names Samaria, which is really the next region. And then he jumps unto the uttermost part of the earth. And he's saying both. He's saying in all of those, we're supposed to be witnesses. And again, sometimes we've got to key into what God means when he says missions. When we talk about the work of missions, it's not just about what's happening over there, but it's also what's happening over here. It's both. And if we're going to do missions right, if we're going to do missions the way God wants us to do missions, it's not just having an expectation of the gospel happening over there. The gospel has to happen here too. And the reach has to happen right here. And really, when it comes to the place of missions, it's both here and there. It's not here or there. It's here and there. You know, sometimes when I've spoken to people and, you know, there's sometimes a misconception about missions. Like, you know, if we give to missions, then really that's all we need to do. That really just a little sacrifice on our part to give some extra money into the offering bag and designate that to missions is that's the end of it. But the Bible, when it speaks about the Great Commission, it's all about the witness of the gospel. It's about the fact that the work of missions and the work of the gospel is being accomplished. The Bible says both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. It's both. And we need to, if we're going to fulfill the Great Commission, we've got to champion the work being done there. But we've also got to champion the gospel being sent forth right here. It's got to be coming from here. And there's in a sense, a duality of focus in our localities. And it's really an obedience or an adherence to this very word of both that will, I think, lead to success in this great endeavor of reaching the world for Jesus Christ. You know, we can't lose sight of the fact that when it comes to the gospel, there's a local focus and a global vision. There's got to be that. That means activity and involvement in both fronts is really the key to seeing the world won. You know, too often missions is presented as a choice between here or there. I want to submit to you, based on what we've read tonight, that it's not here or there. It's here and there. And I want you to note a couple of things as we learn about the place of missions being here and there. Notice, firstly, in verse 8, really we'll focus on this and we'll turn to different places in Scripture, but notice verse 8, but ye shall receive power. Ye shall receive power. You know, the awaiting that they had was an awaiting of the Holy Ghost, and we know later on in the day of Pentecost that the Holy Spirit indeed blew in, and that now as New Testament believers, we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. And I want you to note, firstly, that power. That power really means that we have a similar capacity. We have a similar capacity. The commission was meant to have a massive effect on this whole world. God's mind was to the uttermost. And I want to just have you understand that these words changed the course of world history. You think about the gospel going to the West. You think about the fact that there were those, and we recently celebrated Australia Day once again. There were those, even in that time, who desired, as they understood that a colony was going to be put here on the other side of the planet in the southern hemisphere, that this was a place that the gospel was meant to go forth. Even that attitude and even the setting up of our very society has been affected by this commission. There were those who desired to be obedient to it. And there's an understanding, I hope, tonight, that the very words that we're reading tonight change the course of world history. And again, this is the potential, really, of every gospel preaching endeavor. The gospel changes lives. The gospel changes places. And, you know, I know not everyone here has gone to the mission field. Maybe you've had an opportunity in the past to go to different places. But I remember the first time I went to Thailand. I remember the first time I sat there and you know, you don't understand the language, but you understand the tune of the songs. And it just dawned on me. There's Thai people who are predominantly Buddhist who are now saved singing the same songs that we sing in our church. That place was changed. That particular city, that particular town was changed, and how much the world over. And the reality, though, is this, that as much as God commands, as much as God gives us the commission, He gives us also the means and the power to which we are enabled and to which we can complete the mission. And it's the same. The power to those who would go to the uttermost, the power to those who would maybe go to the next state or the next region or the next suburb or the next city It's all the same. You shall receive power. And that power is in the Holy Ghost. It's a similar capacity. And this means that it's God has promised us his power to get the job done. It's equally able to be used both in our locality and then also in the preceding fields as we go further and further away. Hey, listen, the power of God does not diminish. You know, sometimes we have this misnomer, and if you've done this before, you go to a different place and maybe you went on a short-term missions trip, and maybe you've gone to a place where they're so hungry for the gospel, and sometimes we forget really how much of the gospel we have in this country and how fattened up people are, and sometimes how unreceptive people are here. And then you contrast that to go to a different place and you could preach the gospel and suddenly everyone wants something. Everyone wants to hear about the gospel, and you have many more that perhaps would raise their hand and you deal with in a different place, and you might be fooled to thinking, wow, the gospel's more powerful here than it is back home. But you know, the Bible tells us that in both ye shall receive power. That means that whether we're doing the work of the ministry right here, or we're going to Geelong, or we're going to Thailand, guess what? We have a similar capacity. We have a similar capacity. We have the Holy Spirit of God. We have the promise of the Father. We have the one that indwells the believer, and he's the power, and he's the one that we need. You know, too many times we're a little lax about that. I spoke to our class this morning. I've been subbing in for our teen class as we wait on Brock and Chloe to come. They're going to take on that class when they get back. But we're talking about just that whole idea of just grieving the Holy Spirit, of quenching the Holy Spirit. How often we feel in a sense in this Western society of ours a little powerless. And maybe it's just that we're just not sensitive enough to just deal with issues of the heart. And we're just grieving and quenching the power that God's given us to reach this very city in this very town. You know, we love hearing, and we ought to. We ought to have a joy about hearing all of the reports of what's happening out in the bush and what's happening out in this place. But listen, I want to tell you that those missionaries out there would be just as glad for them to hear about what's happening right here. There ought to be a belief in our hearts tonight that we have enough in Jesus and we have enough in the Holy Ghost to turn this city upside down for Christ. That's missions too. And so many times we can forget that we have a similar capacity. The promise of power is made to all and for all places. And you know, you think about the prayers that we offer up for those who perhaps we would term in dangerous situations. And no doubt, as we get reports, sometimes there's a great need. We recently, in the last many months, we've heard some different attacks over in PNG. And we pray earnestly for their protection. We understand that in different fields, it's different environments in which our missionaries have to be put under. And we understand then we bathe them in prayer that way. But listen, the very reliance that they have in the Holy Ghost should be the very reliance that we have also. Just because we're in a safer environment doesn't mean that we're lesser responsible for the need of the gospel. That doesn't mean that there's more need over there. No, we have a great need right here. And you know, not only do we have a great promise of power for all people in all places, but really also the power is in the message. You understand that our missionaries role in the uttermost, it really isn't any different to our role right here. The message doesn't change, church. The life-saving message doesn't change. It might be different in presentation. It might be just like a language barrier. Sometimes you've got to draw. I know Brother Andrew is great at drawing the gospel. You know, he was working with young people in our school. So many of them, I told him, you know, you ought to save each one of them and sign it and get them to just keep it, you know. But he used to draw diagrams. And sometimes, you know, young people, they speak a different language anyway. So you got to draw something to get them to understand. And it might be that you do something like that. It might be a different means in which you're presenting. But listen, you know what the power is? It's not in the way you present it. It's just the message itself. You know, the Bible tells us, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." You know, you might be wondering. You might be thinking, well, I've never really learned. And, you know, we have our first opportunity to go together. I want to encourage you, if you're really unsure how to do it, go with someone and be with someone who knows how to present the gospel. But I'll tell you what, it's not the arguments that they put forward. It's not even the polish that they have. It's not even in the experience that they might have, although they might have all of those. It's just the fact that the message of the gospel is power in itself. It's power. Listen, when the Andersons go to Geelong, guess what message they're going to preach? They're going to preach the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're going to preach that Jesus came and he lived a perfect life. And then he was willing to lay down his life, and he suffered a great deal to lay down on the cross of Calvary, willing to shed his blood. And then he died, and then he was buried, and he rose again. The gospel. They're going to preach the same thing. And you know what I've seen in different places all around this world, in different cities, in different locations, in different cities that we would call just nations that are difficult to get into, or some nations where, just like here in Australia, they've had the gospel for a long time. You know what's changed lives is the power of the message of the gospel. That's it. You know, as a surrendered one, you know what a missionary is? A missionary is a man who has a message. And that message is the gospel. The reason we have similar capacities also due to the same message that's preached. And the power is something we need to accomplish the commission. You know, we turn to Acts chapter 13 this morning, and I want you to turn there again. Acts chapter 13. And again, notice this great happening in history, the first missionary separated out for the work of the gospel. In chapter 13, verse 1, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul." And notice verse 2, "And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. And the Holy Ghost said, Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." There was a separating by the Holy Ghost. You know, there had to be a people sensitive to the Holy Ghost. There had to be a people who were empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. There had to be a people who weren't grieving the Holy Spirit of God, who had that freedom of communication with the Holy Spirit. And there had to be a group of people ministering to the Lord. And then they heard from the Holy Ghost. You know, sometimes we try to figure out what the problem, the missionary problem is. You know what it is? It's a relational problem. It's a relational problem. Well, we're supposed to have a closeness to the Lord. Supposed to be spirit-filled people. In verse 3, "And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus." We made mention of the fact that word "sent" is to be given power by another. It's to be given momentum by another. And really, in the first place, that momentum was that spirit filling, that Holy Ghost filling. You know, we ought to seek God's power upon us and those who serve for the gospel in other places. You know, when was the last time you prayed for God to give you more of the Holy Ghost in your witness? When was the last time we were bothered enough to recognize that maybe there's a dourness in our heart about that? You know, when was the last time we just ask God, the Holy Spirit, to just help us have a greater passion for the things of the Lord, for the souls of others, and for the need of the gospel right here? It's both, both. See, the Holy Ghost, he needs to be sought for power. We need his power through our church. We need his power through our missionaries. We need his power as we go out this Saturday. And I love the fact that we have some who've just shown a little bit of initiative and we want to come a little bit earlier at 8 a.m. and we're going to pray. We're going to pray for power. We're going to pray for boldness. We're going to pray for the Holy Ghost to use us to reach this city. And we're going to pray that way for those across town. We want to pray for those who will go into interstate. We want to pray for our churches all around Australia, or those pastors, those fellow believers. And we want to pray for those, our missionaries, that they would have the power. We have a similar capacity. You believe that tonight? See, the Bible tells us, but ye shall receive power. Notice the second thing tonight. Not only is it that we have a similar capacity, but really in verse 8, the Bible tells us, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Really, secondly tonight, not only in our place of missions do we have a similar capacity, we also have a singular commission. We have a singular commission. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. The commission is just the same. It's the preaching of the gospel. It's the firsthand experience of it. And one is not called to do another here and another there. You notice the commission. The commission is to be a witness. You know what a witness does? A witness speaks of what he has heard. A witness speaks of what he has seen. And a witness shares what he has experienced. There's got to be firsthand account. And this means that the missionary needs a living example of what he is to witness. There needs to be a living example of that. And what this means is, this is really speaking about us as the church. You know, as we send out the Andersons, you know what the last thing they want is? Is to hear that Good Shepherd Baptist Church is no longer. Why? Because they need an example. They need their home church who will have a heart for the lost, and they want to hear about the church that they just got sent from striving more and more for the gospel. They want to hear that, hey, pastor's led someone, or hey, we've got a new family, we just want them to the Lord. They want to hear that. Why? Because they've been here for the number of years and there's been a modeling of how church should be. There's a modeling of how the gospel should be treated. And listen, sometimes we think that our job is done once we've sent forth some others and off you go, thank you very much. But listen, the work continues. The work actually becomes more earnest because now we have a responsibility to be an example to those. See, in Philippians 4:9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Saying the things you've seen, that you've witnessed of me, do that. Look at Acts chapter 11. Look at Acts chapter 11. And notice verse 25. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And you know, we won't take the time tonight, but you study that church in Antioch. You know, our scriptures, when we think about the very scriptures that we read tonight, we can trace the manuscript, the text, to the Antiochian text. The Antioch church was a great church. In fact, the Bible tells us they were called Christians first. Little Christs is what Christian means. They were little Christs in Antioch. And you know, if you read it over and over again, you know where Paul would come back? He'd come back to Antioch. He'd come back and he'd be refreshed there. He'd come back and recognize again that there was some home base. And what it was a living example. It was a living example. It was communicated and passed on. And as Paul went about with his different ministry partners, and as he went with Barnabas, as he goes with Silas, and as he goes with Luke, and as he goes with Timothy, and different personalities, they would come back, and there would be a living example. there would be a church that they could look to be an example for them. Why? Because they were doing the same thing. They were serious for the gospel. They were the ones who were little Christ. And this means that the missionary has to have a place of training to be able to witness. And again, you know what that is? That's the church. You know where we're going to find more missionaries? Where we're going to find more who will go to the harvest field? We're not going to find them. We're going to find them in here. We might find them out there first, but we're going to bring them in here. And we're going to disciple them. And we're going to sit them down. And we're going to teach them the Bible. And then we're going to get them fired up about the gospel. And we're going to get them fired up about service. And we're going to get them all excited about this thing called evangelizing. And they're going to get into it. And guess what? Guess what? That's all the training they're going to need. You know, sometimes I wonder. You meet some missionaries and you wonder what they did in their local church. And I'll tell you that as we send people along the way by God's grace, it'll be because we've trained them. It'll be because they've witnessed stuff here. It'll be because they got a fire in their heart for the God of heaven right here. It's because they got a fire in their heart for the lost right here. And they saw some in the congregation and many in the congregation go out and pray and weep and go out and be bold and be brave and go out and come back and report of the work that's happening over there. And everyone's going to get all excited. And they're not just going to be a little bit about, you know, oh, whatever comes out of my pocket. No, they're going to give themselves. And there's going to be a production of laborers for the field. Why? There's a witness. They've witnessed something. They've seen firsthand the compassion. They've seen firsthand that, you know, the gospel's important here. It wasn't just important there. And we're training in the church. Ye shall be witnesses. There's a singular commission. You know what we find? As we send others out, you know what the expectation is? Right? We expect missionaries to go and witness. They're going to witness to others. And the expectation is they're going to go and tell others about the gospel. But here's sometimes the mistake we make. We have that expectation of them, but we don't have that expectation of ourselves. We'll go good on them because they went and God's called them. No, listen, God's called all of us to be witnesses. We're all to be witnesses. You know, there's people you can reach that I can't reach. I was telling our young people that the other day. I said, you know, there's young people you can reach in your school that I'll never reach. There's some in your workplaces that you can reach that I can never reach. And listen, you have an opportunity in your workplaces, in your neighborhoods, in your communities, in your commute, in all of your places of study, you have opportunity to be a witness right there. And you know what we will do? If you come to me and you say, God's calling me to do this, I'm going to look at you and go, well, why are you doing it here? I'm not going to send you if you're not reaching people right here. Who have you led? Who have you won? And listen, you better be doing it here before you're going to do it out there. And you know what it is? It's a witness. You've seen it firsthand here. You've seen it firsthand. And you know, that's something that I was grateful for as I prayed about Geelong and prayed about the need there. And the name Daniel Anderson kept coming. You know who else I thought about? Mark. I thought about Paul. I thought about these guys, these truckie mates that you have. We met Big W this morning. You know him, he came in. You wouldn't have missed him. He's a big, big guy. Big Wayne. And Big W is what we call him, but he came in. But there's what I'm saying is there's a witness of the fruit. There's a witness of that. And you know, there's some who say, Pastor, I'm called. I'm like, you ain't doing it. Who have you led? Who are you praying for? Who are you working with? And you know, sometimes there's this attitude, well, it's good for them. It's just, I don't need to do it, but I'm going to go. Listen, you're not going to go. That's what a missionary will need. He needs a reference point to look to when he's on the fields. In Proverbs 25:25, as a cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. It needs that refreshing, that connection. And good news from your local church, it's a good reference point. And as we live by faith, it encourages them to live by faith. See, the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 1:8, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. There was this church in Thessalonica who from them sounded out the gospel. And just that here and there mentality. You know, this is a missions entity too. This is a gospel endeavor. And don't make a mistake about it. If you're faithful here, then we can have an expectation of faithfulness over there. It's here and there. Don't miss it, both. Both. But then lastly requires not only is there a similar capacity, a singular mission, but lastly, we see a simultaneous commitment. Both, and then he names those four areas, both infers that the commission must be carried out in all of these places simultaneously. There's a required commitment for this to happen. There's an expectation from the Lord that we are to be committed to ensuring both are focused on. It's got to be both. It means that whilst we see the need for missions there, we're committed here. It's not a choice of commitment here or there, or vice versa. It's a commitment to both. It's a simultaneous commitment. You know, missionary Jim Elliot said this, wherever you are, be all there. Live to the hilt every situation you believe to be the will of God. Listen, many of you, you're here. You've signified this is the will of God for you. You're here. Now, maybe it's different. Maybe you're fighting the Holy Spirit. Maybe the Holy Spirit wants to send you and you're fighting that. But listen, if God's plan and will for your life is here, then listen, be a missionary here. Be an evangelist here. Be someone who's for the gospel right here. Hey, don't spin your wheels. Don't just settle sitting on your pew. Hey, get involved. Get passionate. Get fired up for the gospel right here. And that's why a missionary should be supportive and supported by his local church, because there's a consciousness and there's a conscience that we're doing our bit. And there's a commitment to be in this together. And really, at the end of it, we rejoice together. We won't turn there for the sake of time, but you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 later. And that great chapter of the fact that we co-labor with God. We co-labor. You know, we co-labor, that means that we're united in our message. That means we're united in our commitment. But you know what else? We're united in our results. We're united in our fruit. You know, I love hearing on a Wednesday night, Jewel will come up usually, and if there's a prayer letter that came through that week, you know, he's going to read it, summarize it somewhat. For those of you who signed up to be part of our missions prayer list, we send out summaries of all of our missionaries, that missions prayer letters that have come in. And you know what I love reading? I love reading about the needs, but I love hearing about the fruit. I love hearing when souls get saved. I love hearing when families are helped. I love hearing when there's a situation where God just came through. And I love hearing all of that. And you know what that ought to cause? Rejoicing right here. You know, here's the problem sometimes as Western Christians, we can become so myopic of the issues here that we forget to rejoice about all that God's doing everywhere else. But listen, I know this, there's a corresponding rejoicing when the gospel is working both here and there. See, the place of missions isn't just there. It ought to be both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Hey, there ought to be a fire for the gospel right here. There ought to be a burden for souls right here. You know, we expect it and we seek it for those maybe in Judea, maybe in Samaria. We won't call Victoria Samaria, all right? But that's the next region, the next state over. That's really New South Wales. Some of you really agree with that. But you know, there's those needs there and we ought to rejoice. You know what, I love hearing from friends of mine in the gospel, and they'll text and say, hey, hey, bro, it was a great Sunday. We saw these. You know what? There ought to be no sense of, oh, why didn't it happen? And listen, let's just get busy. Let's just get serious for the gospel. See, the place of missions, it's here and there. It's not here or there. It's here and there. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the time. Thank you for the opportunity we have. And we are so privileged, dear Lord, to be able to, Lord, to minister in this time, in this place. And Lord, to partner with so many in different parts of the world. And Father, help us, Lord, even as we have a sense of expectation for the gospel in different places, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to have an urgency right here as well. Help us, dear God, to just go, Lord, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, help us to have a burden. And then, Lord, help us then to rejoice with those that you've called to different places, dear God, because the gospel is powerful. The gospel is worthy. The gospel, dear God, is urgent. And I'm thankful, dear God, that we get to be part of your work. And so I pray that you'd help us this week to get into the days that we have, Lord, with a sense of urgency, a sense of that burden. And I help us, Lord, to keep the fires of the gospel red hot right here. And Lord, help us then to just then bless those that we've helped to get on the field. Help us to then have a faithful prayer, a faithful expectation for what you're going to get to do through each one. And Lord, we love you, Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name.